Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
All right, good to have you with us. Final hour of power here on a rainy Tuesday afternoon in the DMV, but it is, again, shining down on the Washington Commanders and Jaden Daniels after their Monday night football win in the Natty last night to improve to 2-1 off to Phoenix. They already are. And joining us right now is a man who was once the offensive coordinator of the Cincinnati Bengals, once the head coach of the Washington Redskins, and is always our analyst extraordinaire and our guest right here on the Team 980, usually on Mondays because, well, the Commanders usually play on Sunday, but a couple more performances like Jaden Daniels are going to be playing in primetime and Mondays every chance they get on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group. Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters. Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling. Home of Ted Britt for Life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com. And again, joining us is the aforementioned Jay Gruden. You can follow him on the X, as the kids like to call it. At @coach_Jay Gruden. Hello, Jay. How are you?
Hey, Coach.
Chris. Hey, Doc. What's going on? I'm doing great.
Hey, brother. Just thinking about Lucy's in the sky. I was thinking about you.
Yes, had a big win last night. That was fun to watch.
Yeah. Before we get to the breakdown, Doc and I, or Matt was just saying in my ear that, you know, this game made him think back to 2012. You weren't here yet. Thanksgiving Day, you know, Robert throws 4 touchdowns in the second quarter in Dallas, and kind of the reaction there. I kind of thought, okay, obviously they're different quarterbacks, but in 2015, Kirk went, and you and the offense, and I remember Jordan Reed, and it just every went on that great run. I think it was a 4-game winning streak, and you were kicking everybody's ass in December, leading to that division championship win on a Saturday night in Philadelphia. What did last night, did it correlate in your mind to anything that you went through in your time here, and especially in that run with Kirk in 2015, or maybe even 2016?
Yeah, that's a similarity, especially that I think it was Thursday game against Green Bay. We beat Aaron Rodgers, and Kirk had a hell of a night and threw for a lot of yards. Offense was clicking. Defense made some big stops against a hell of a quarterback, very similar to last night. You know, the defense wasn't sensational by any stretch, but that was a hell of an offense. They got off the field a few times, and the offense was did not punt one time, scored every time they had the ball. So, yeah, that was quite the performance.
Couldn't help but think about it, Jay, in those moments and that night at Philadelphia and winning and the tempo and moments. When you had that thing cranked up, that's what it made me feel like, moments of that when you've got the defense on its heels.
Yeah, that's always a good feeling when you are the aggressor on offense and everything's going right for you and you're not into these known passing situations. You're playing with somewhat of the lead. I don't know. I don't remember many third and longs for Washington last night. That's a tribute to Cliff Kingsbury and the execution of the offense and, of course, Jaden Daniels. So, you know, they had some runs that didn't work out very well, but they seemed to get out of their own, get out of the way a little bit, make some plays with the passing game, and Terry finally got involved a little bit. Luke McCaffrey had a huge third down catch. You know, Zach did his normal 5 catches. You know, Noah Brown showed up 3 times. So, Yeah, I mean, it's fun to watch these guys play because you never know how they're going to hit you. You know, is it going to be Jaden on his own read? Is it going to be Brian Robinson? Is it going to be Eckler out of the backfield? Is it going to be Terry on a deep ball? Is it going to be Zach Ertz on a crossing route? So they got a lot going on, a lot of field to cover for the defense, and it's going to be a problem for a lot of teams moving forward.
Jay Gruden is with us, again brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group. He joins us on the BetQL Guest Hotline here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. One thing I loved about last night, you know, and this is part Jaden, part Cliff, and part Dan Quinn, the fourth down aggressiveness, Jay. You know, it would have been easy in some of those spots to say, hey, you know, let me kick a 49-yard field goal on that final drive, get out of here 7-3, and play, and hope the defense, you know, can slow them down. It would have been easy late in the game, I think up 26-21. Again, you know, 4.5 minutes left or whatever it was, play defense, punt the ball, maybe take a 5-yard loss, you know, send Tressway out there, try and cough and kick. And Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury, and again, Jaden Daniels and others, all stepped up. They were saying, no, we're going for it, and damn it, we're going to make it. And they did three times.
Yeah, that's just puts a lot of faith in your quarterback and the execution of your offense. And also, I think it's very important for them to do that, especially with the guy on the other side of the field looking out, out there ready to get the ball back. And Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and those guys. And obviously, Chase Brown had a decent game and Joe Burrow. So I think that had a lot to do with it as well. You know, I think you have to make those tough decisions sometimes and count on your offense when you know the other team has a pretty good chance to put some points on the board right away. So I think it was a great decision by those guys, but most importantly, great execution and great poise by Jaden.
So many similarities to last night. I was lucky. I was with Jordan Reed, coach, earlier at an alumni event. And I think about that offense. And I think about Thompson, your third down back, and the similarities between Eckler and Ertz. Your combinations and these combinations, do you see the similarities?
Yeah, a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Jordan was a little bit more of a hybrid guy than Zach.
Oh, no question. He was a beast.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Jordan was a monster. But there are some similarities for sure. You know, Terry is kind of a combination of Pierre and Deshaun. He has the speed of Deshaun and the physicality of Pierre. So he's fun to watch. I think the second receiver will start to emerge here pretty soon. It's good to see Luke make some key catches as a rookie.
I love him.
And obviously Noah Brown is a big physical guy. But, yeah, it all starts with the quarterback, man. And this guy is just – this guy is he's got – boys out the rear end. I mean, he's just as a he has no fear. I mean, he just looks at the defense and smiles and attacks it every single snap, and it's just fun to watch a guy. I mean, he's touched the ball now. He's had 76 pass attempts. He's had 47 times, whether it's a sack or a runner, with the ball in his hand, and has not fumbled once and not thrown a pick once. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a hell of a tribute for a young quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the superlatives are unbelievable. You know, they didn't punt again, second straight game. They score on every possession, excluding kneel down second, not the second straight game for that, but you know what I'm talking about. They didn't punt for a second straight game. To do that against NFL defenses is just absurd, and that's not. And Jay, we saw him juke a defender in the hole and then baseball slide down. I mean, you know, like, what can't this kid do so far?
Yeah, I know it. I mean, for a team with a rookie quarterback to have no turnovers in back-to-back games, one on a Monday night football game, another one against your division rival, the New York Giants. I mean, it's a hell of a tribute. So, you know, we just got to slow down a little bit. Let's just take our time, take a deep breath, and it's going to get tougher and tougher for him. But what a start for this kid. I'd feel really good going to bed at night if I was a coach for the Commanders with this guy coming out of the tunnel.
Hey, Coach, you see any change? I mean, and the kickoff return rule. Now, Eckler, who is an absolute beast, and I think our fan base now is starting to appreciate his absolute greatness. I hope that the concussion doesn't linger long because this guy is unique.
Yeah, you know, I think they're using him perfectly, too. You know, I don't want to see Austin Eckler get 30 carries or 10 receptions. You know, I think his role is perfect. You know, 3 or 4 receptions, 4 or 5 carries a game where you can utilize his change of pace and his speed and all that stuff and keep him fresh. Hopefully he is okay because he's a great dynamic weapon outside of Brian Robinson. Brian only had 33 yards rushing yesterday, but still I feel his presence every time he's in the game running between the tackles and the physicality he brings that offense. And it's much needed because that presence opens up some zone reads for Jaden. So that's a great 1-2 punch, but they need Eckler because he is a dynamic player.
Yeah, certainly the concussion, not a great sign, especially on a short week. Jay, I wanted to ask you about the game game plan, you know, everybody thought they were horizontal, east, west, short, quick, get it out. Trey Hendrickson, and I was worried about Trey Hendrickson too. They did a pretty good job until that late sack. But I said all week and last night, you know, and whatnot, that they've had opportunities and they've had windows, and specifically to Terry. And I thought they would hit on the first or second series. I don't know if I asked you this last week or whatever it was. You know, I thought they would stretch the field. I thought they would go up top, put the fear of you-know-what in the Bengals' defense. Hey, we're here to play. And they didn't do it as early as maybe I thought or wanted, but boy, did they attack vertically. And to me, like, you get Cam Taylor-Britt, who's like, oh, it's a college offense. Oh, it's, you know, quick decisions. Oh, it's all short throws. So they're kind of thinking that maybe, and that's what they've shown on tape a lot of. But then they come out and just throw a couple of haymakers last night.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that's part of the deal. I think against the Giants, you got to be a little conservative. You know, the Giants went out and beat the hell out of the Browns. They couldn't block the Giants. And I think that might have been their game plan. Hey, we got to run between the tackles and protect Jaden this week. And now that they had the ability to run the ball against the front like the Giants, the Bengals had to be thinking, hell, they're going to try to run it against us. And that opens up some deep passing lanes. And I think Cliff used that to his advantage, knowing that the Bengals would try to play a lot more tight to the line of scrimmage and allowed Washington aired out a few times.
Jay Gruden with us, brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group. Before we spin around the NFL, I wanted to ask you, I thought the defense, listen, they gave up a lot of plays. They got abused early. All of that, we understand how good Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins is, and they've got other weapons besides that. Yosefus caught a touchdown. He's a good little player, the young tight end. So I understand why they gave up points. And I thought the defense, Jay, maybe I'm going to take the positive side of this. They forced a missed field goal because of a third down stop. A couple of times the Bengals had first and 10 inside, or first and goal, I should say, inside the 10, and they forced field goals. I'm not saying the defense was good by any stretch, but they didn't get totally bludgeoned in this game. Is that kind of the way you would look at it from a head coaching or an evaluation perspective, or would you look at it and say, man, are we really in trouble?
Yeah, well, 33 points is not quite a bludgeoning, but it's a good punch in the face. They do got to get better, but you're right. They did get stops when they had to in the red zone, which is critical. They're going to give up yards between the 20s, and they're going to have to play good red zone defense the entire year. That they got to figure out ways to get the ball back for the offense. They need to create turnover somehow, some way. That's going to be important moving forward. You know, secondary, they got to address the secondary a little bit. They can't give up those bombs that easy. They're trying hard, and they're going to continue to work hard and get better. They have some young guys in the secondary, and they'll have to protect them early on. They're going to go up some chunk plays every now and then, but for the most part, play great red zone defense, but most importantly, figure out a way to get the ball out, force fumbles and interceptions.
Jay, I was saying to Rooster, going to Arizona without having to be a parent, you're not a husband, because you're like training camp. You can kind of get away, you can close some gaps if they've locked into this. It's also got to be highly managed. What concerns you? What advantages can you pick up in this abbreviated training camp type week?
Well, you know, I think it's going to be tough to travel. Obviously, you're traveling back from Cincinnati. You're going to get back really late at night. You're going to be a little worn out. So today will have to be a recovery day for these guys.
They went directly to Arizona.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Dan always used to do that for you guys, right?
No, come on. You wish.
Yeah, no. Hell no. That's different. But still, it's going to be different with the travel and the time. They're going to have to recover, and they have to get their treatment. That's the most important thing for them, to get their bodies back right. And then obviously they got to put this game behind them, whether it's a win or a loss. Obviously, a great win's important, much more easier
but
to get ready
ASU
for the next
ASU campus, Sun Devil.
Doc's worried about Sin City.
I'm just asking, Jay. I'm going, you got to manage this thing so that you turn it into an advantage and not a trap.
Doc's worried about a Tuesday night throwdown in Tempe, Jay.
that could happen. Tempe's a fun place to be, that's for sure. But I think the coaches will do a great job with their curfews. And I think the strong leadership that Washington has with Allen and Payne, Allen should be the doorman and make sure nobody goes out, and Payne should be there watching the doors. And making sure they go to bed on time and get ready and do the right thing, because Arizona's coming off a big loss.
Yeah.
And they're going to be hungry as hell.
Oh,
this game is going to be a lot made about Cliff Kingsbury's return. Let's not make it about that. Let's make it about the Commanders versus the Arizona Cardinals and get the third win on the road and do everything in your power to be a professional this week and get another victory.
Well, Jay, if Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen are playing, you know, doorman and bodyguard and all that stuff, they might be out of their gaps, you know, like they might be side.
Yeah.
So, you know, teams could just, you know, players, their teammates could just run right through them, you know?
Yeah, right. But they better get healthy, because they're going to have to chase around Kyler Murray for a long time in this ball game. So they need their rest, that's for sure.
Well, do you think, and I wanted to double down on Payne and Allen and get, again, your updated thought, because it's just, like, I know they're trying, but it doesn't seem like the proof is in the pudding just yet. I don't know. But specific to Kyler Murray, now, I'm not saying they're the same, but does it help that they saw a pretty mobile quarterback in Baker Mayfield who they were able to get pressure on and weren't able to close the back door against when you see Kyler Murray a couple of weeks out? I understand he's really lightning quick and better at that than Baker Mayfield, but does it help that you saw some sort of recent example of what you did right and what you did wrong in terms of that element of quarterback play and defense?
Yeah, a little bit. Every experience is important. And yeah, man, Daniel Jones is no slouch either,
that's
getting
true.
Outside the pocket.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, he's a good athlete as well. So, but this guy's a freak. This guy's like a little magician, Houdini, back there in the pocket. And, you know, you just watch his second game, watching his game against Buffalo, and then watch his game that they won. And then last week they struggled a little bit. But, you just got to make sure you contain him, try to keep him in the pocket. And then somebody's got to get hands on Marvin Harrison and slow him down. So it'll be a tough task, but I think it's something that they can accomplish. And I think defensively Arizona's struggling a little bit. And I think Jaden can have another big, big day.
Good luck with all that. Specific to Allen and Payne, are you seeing anything that would concern you, or are they just being double teamed so much, which they seem to be a lot in the Giants game? I haven't been able to track that for last night's game, but I'm sure they were given a lot of attention. What have you seen, I guess, through three games and really what happened kind of over the second half of last year?
Yeah, I think I'm just knowing those two guys and how good they can be, I'm a little disappointed in their performance so far. You know, just because my expectations for those two guys are Pro Bowl quality, and I don't see them pop up on the screen enough for me. And I'm not watching the film as a coach like I used to. You know, I'm just watching games as a spectator, so I'm not seeing or knowing what exactly their responsibilities are on each play. And they might be doing perfect. They might be doing exactly what Dan Quinn says, but I just don't see the eye-popping plays that you typically see, you know, four or five times a game from Jonathan Allen and a couple run-stopping smothers by Daron Payne or quarterback hits by Payne. I just don't see as much as I think I would like. But the year's still young, and I think they'll still work themselves into football shape and get going here later on.
Before we run out of time, Jay Gruden with us, brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group. Buffalo's 3-0. We all know about Josh Allen. We know about that environment. What the hell is going on in Jacksonville, Jay? I mean, I know you didn't get to work with Trevor Lawrence in the 1 year you were down there, but my goodness, I mean, he was on that trajectory a year and a half ago, and the second half of last year was a disaster. We know that, and so far this year has been a mess. I know they drop a lot of passes, but what is going on with Trevor Lawrence and the Jags?
Yeah, they get issues down there, big-time issues, and his consistency has been an issue since he came to the league, really. He'll have a couple good plays and then a couple really bad plays, and for whatever reason, he just has not clicked into the consistent quarterback that they need down there. And it's tough when you're playing good one drive, and then the next drive you're horrible, you miss a guy that's wide open. It's just tough to get anything going as a play caller, and I think Peterson's struggling calling these plays, or whoever's calling plays for him, and he's just not playing consistent enough football for a guy that is as good as he is. I don't know what the deal is, if it's his fundamentals or he's got injury problems that are lingering from last year. But something's different about him, and it's very concerning for Jaguars.
Yeah, I remember a little bit of that at Clemson, and I was like, you know, I don't know if he's the surefire stud that everybody thinks, but I guess I wasn't expecting.
Well, he was on
fire. I'm saying that he's the most head-scratching quarterback I've ever ever evaluated because he has plays where he looked like the number one pick in the draft by far, and he had other plays he looked like a sixth rounder.
So it's interesting that you say that because the universal, like, you know, that you hear from all the, you know, the scouting analysts and the people in mommy's basement is that he's the greatest thing since sliced bread, you know?
Yeah, I still would have taken him if I had a chance, but, okay. But still, you just worry about the negative plays that he has, that the guys he misses in the flat that are wide open by 10 yards over his head. You know, just.
But he's into the game, right, Jay? I mean, he's into football. It ain't like Tyler. Oh,
yeah,
Kyler.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's a great kid. Okay. Yeah, he's a great kid. He works at it.
Yeah.
He wants to be good. Like I said, I think, I don't know if it's some injuries that have lingered over him and just messed with his delivery.
Okay.
You know, I've seen other quarterbacks. You know, I can remember Blake Bortles had a couple really good years, had some bad injuries, and his throwing motion changed drastically, and he was missing guys wide open. Maybe he had something to do with that. So there's a lot of issues a quarterback can have, and maybe it's confidence. He just got to get his swagger back and have a couple good games, and maybe he'll be off and running.
Have you had a chance to shout out to the Red Rifle?
The Red Rifle, I shot a text to him. I haven't replied yet, though. He hadn't replied yet. He's a little busy right now.
A little busy.
A hell of a game for him. Yeah, is he a pro or what?
He is a real pro.
Yeah,
bro.
Yeah, no doubt.
I love that guy.
And last thing, Jay, just before we leave, the Rams and McVay, who obviously you know very well, I don't know if you talk to Sean anymore or whatever. I mean, what they have done to overcome, I mean, they damn near won that season opener on Sunday night in Detroit with half their team all, you know, out for that game or hurt in that game. Since then, the injuries have piled up even more. No Nacua, no Cooper Kupp. And for them to come back and beat Kyle, granted it was at home, but it wasn't like a home game. For them to be way down and to come all the way back and win that game is, I mean, just nothing short of astonishing how he's been able to piece that together.
Yeah, you know, I think he showed why he traded for Matthew Stafford. This guy's just an absolute stud. He doesn't blink in any adversity coming at him, pressure, whatever it is. He just continues to stand back there and deliver strikes no matter who he's throwing to. And he's a great, great player. And obviously, Sean's a great play caller. He's going to keep his team in games. You know, they got a young defense and a young defensive coordinator. They're struggling a little bit, but they made plays when they had to. And Sean's going to get these guys going.
No doubt about it. Jay, great spot as always.
Good stuff,
always
Coach.
Good to catch up with you. I guess we'll talk next Monday because the Commanders play on Sunday. Appreciate you as always, Jay.
All right. Thanks, Chris. See you.
There you go. All right, that
bro.
Is the former head coach of the Washington Redskins, former offensive coordinator of the Jaguars and the Cincinnati Bengals. You can check him out, Underdog Fantasy. He's doing work with them. And each and every normally Monday here at 3 o'clock on the Team 980, we pushed it back to Tuesday this week because the Commanders played on Monday night on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax, F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly in Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com. Back in a flash with the DOC and clean up on aisle 3. Still to come on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
All right, we continue along. Thanks to Jay Gruden. Good spot with him. So you heard what he had to say about Jaden Daniels, about Cliff Kingsbury, Terry McLaurin. Let me just address this. I shouldn't waste my time, but I did get some of this. This fan base, Doc, is just sometimes just mind-boggling. I know it's a lot of the frustration from built up over the last 30 years, but
yeah.
I got samplings of... I should apologize for being an idiot, for criticizing and thinking Terry McLaurin was a terrible receiver. I never said anything of the sort.
Never say that.
Never said anything of the sort. I said he was good to very good. One game does not change that. One explosive game does not change that. Maybe he's closer to very good with a real good quarterback, which they seemingly have, and a good offensive coordinator. Let's let time tell. Let's let time tell. So I never said that Terry McLaurin was bad or not good or anything of the sort. I just said, you know, is he in the same class mold as Justin Jefferson? No. Is he in the same class mold when he's healthy, A.J. Brown? No. Is he in the same class mold as some of the other? And I even said,
but
you know,
nobody else is.
Right, either. Exactly.
Those two guys you just mentioned. Yeah, it's a small.
But I also,
circle.
You know, I also you put said, you know, like Malik Nabers is a one, right? I mean, already through three games, you can see he's a dog, right? Now he was drafted number 6 overall. You remember this, and Jay drafted him, mm-hmm. and Kyle Smith and whatnot. Like Terry wasn't even supposed to be a wide receiver. He was a wide receiver at Ohio State. He wasn't even supposed to be a significant contributor wide receiver in the NFL. He was considered the best special teams player in the draft.
Could have been.
And I remember, Doc, they were so thin, short, whatever talent. He was so good at what receiver. Not only did they hide him during August and they didn't play him in the preseason and all that, but he never played a snap of special teams because he was so good at receiver. And they needed him, and they utilized him, and he had 7 touchdowns in his best year with Jay. Now, Jay got fired 5 games into that year, but but whatever that mess was, and he had that big explosive breakout in Philadelphia. So, anyway, I just want to make sure that people hear what they want to hear.
Why do you get so concerned?
I get concerned.
You're a professional, and you let amateurs...
It's a good question.
Shake your foundation.
It's a good question because I...
That's like listening to something Linnell says and letting that bother... I mean, I go, really?
It's a good point.
Why do you... Yeah, let it go.
It's a good point.
If Terry McLaurin doesn't need to answer to any of his critics, first of all, how's he doing at the bank?
I'm doing quite well.
Okay. All right. So in life, the race is... to avoid poverty, okay? He doing all right at that. He blocks. He hustles. He very seldom misses games. Mm-hmm. He's not a jackass. Mm-hmm. What more do you want? Okay, and he's played with a group of people that will have no chance of ever getting to the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And so, hey.
Yeah. But I don't think it's insulting to call him good to very good.
No, I think it's insulting
maybe not
when
elite.
People say... He's not a number one. Well, a whole bunch of people aren't ones. But then you're looking at this guy and taking away his great qualities is that he's a hell of a football player, hell of a teammate. As the offense gets better, you've been run by nitwits.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
His whole career has been contaminated by ignorance. So just give him some confidence and watch. Well, I'll bet on Terry.
All right, there you go.
I bet on Terry.
I also wanted to point this out along the same vein. Somebody pointed out last night that I had the audacity, not the odyssey.
Yeah, the audacity.
The audacity.
The audacity
to want Drake May as the quarterback. And I said over and over again, I do a show every day, 3 hours a day. I'm not hard to find.
Yeah.
And you're nationally syndicated. Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
and I respond to a lot of people stupidly on X.
What?
I said, yes, I have a slight lean towards Drake May.
Yeah.
I'm not a college scout. I'm not a general manager. Right. Not
you
a head coach.
By yourself. You weren't the only person.
I'm not an offensive coordinator, right.
And he may end up being a hell of a quarterback.
And the jury is not, never mind, still out. The jury hasn't even really been in. I mean, they haven't been given the orders to evaluate yet. I mean, the guy played 4 minutes the other night.
All of them.
I mean, can we just stop? Just, like, I have never, and last night during the game, right before the Terry touchdown, I said, you know, all these unnecessary, all of these, I forgot how I worded it, but some of the timeout usage worries me. Like last night after the deep incomplete to Terry, they had to burn a timeout.
Oh, Kevin blew it. Kevin just went nuts.
Yeah, one time last night, of course, before the Terry touchdown, they had like all sorts of shifting and substitution going on. They had to use a timeout. I understand timeouts are sometimes to get you out of bad situations, sometimes strategic, what have you. But, you know, I said, look, you know, the timeout usage through three games is concerning. Jaden burned two timeouts because of communication issues, cadence, whatever, on the first drive last week. I said the timeout usage, and sometimes unnecessary, is a little bit concerning. Mm-hmm. And you would have thought that I was like Satan. I mean, shut up, you all sorts of names, well, you idiot, you this, you that, can't you ever be happy, whatever. Like, I have never seen a fan base that blames the media more for this team's struggles and problems than, I mean, there can't be a fan base that hates the media more than this one.
Well, you've allowed Nell to make you the visitor in your own home.
Mm.
That's your fault.
How have I done that?
You're the visitor in your own home. Essek, can you elaborate for here?
Hey, who called you this morning to do show prep?
Linnell.
So maybe he's taking a little bit too much control.
But what is that? I guess what I'm asking is. Our job as media is not to be cheerleaders and to have our pom-pom surgically attached to our ass cheeks, right?
No, but you don't have to disavow your New York, the fact that you're a New Yorker.
Right, he says I'm an industry plant.
You're an industry plant, right. All that. No, he's playing you now. He's playing you hard into that. And
But do you think that affects my relationship with the fan base, or do you think the fan base is just like for 30 years has been abused?
You got to be you. The beauty of you is that you're authentic.
Yeah. So I appreciate that, Doc.
Be you.
Okay.
But I'm concerned as to why you let it affect you to the point to where, because, first of all, you've gone further in reverse than most of our listeners have gone fast forward.
Thank you.
About this stuff, what we're talking about.
Yeah.
We're not talking about breaking down the atom, but we're talking about this based on the reps.
Right, right.
This, you know, I realize even more not being involved in it now, but you just take for granted all the moments that you're in the press box, that you're on the field, that you're at practices. Those accumulate, and it's like building. You're writing a resume, a dissertation. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You've got so much time on the clock, and you're watching all this stuff. But sometimes it starts getting jumbled up. You start thinking, well, what do I really believe? And with all the coaching changes, and then, of course, you fail for the con man. So you get sucked in emotionally,
Taco.
And before you know it, oh, he got you,
Taco.
And before you know it, soft as a jelly donut. Yeah, really. And so, and here we are. And then you got Nell. And like, what tomorrow? Tomorrow, I can hear him right now. If he is ill, and I hope he gets better. I don't want to be. He's too so young. How is he always sick?
I don't know.
I think he must sleep with his mouth open.
I don't know. I care too much about what people think of me. I should probably care very little.
No, you care about those that care.
I care what you think of me.
Yeah, but you care about those that care about you.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Holly cares about you.
I gotta be better. I gotta have more of like a garage door effect. Like, just I don't see it. I don't care about it. You can think whatever you want. You're an idiot.
It's fine. It's
what
fine.
Have you.
As long
and I got
comfortable with it.
I have gotten a little bit better at being mean on Twitter in response. Like, you know, like I just laughed at some guy today.
Twitter, and do you know who you're talking to?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of eggs and avatars.
If you know who you're talking to, it's a great deal.
That's true.
Like Sanchez, we know who Sanchez is.
Yeah, no, I care about those guys.
But you know who he is.
Yeah, when Paulie criticizes me, I don't take it to heart.
Because you know who he is and where he's at. Right. He's not running.
Exactly.
But some dude that doesn't have the guts to put his face on the deal, and he's hiding behind an emoji. You think I'm going to give a damn what he thinks or she thinks?
That's a good point.
You must be out your mind.
That's
somehow we are going to transition from that to this.
And that to this is, I hope Matt's okay with it. Because I didn't really ask. What we may have missed. What we forgot. What we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. All right, Doc. Because they're not very good and they're kind of playing out the string. But the Nationals are back in action tonight at Nationals Park, and they're taking on a good team, the Kansas City Royals. Mm. Nice resurgence story. 82-74 the Royals. Obviously, they're not here very often, so a chance to see one of the great young stars in the game, and Bobby Witt Jr. Right, he's had a couple of monster years here. Mm-hmm. The Nationals. You and I have not had a chance to talk. I don't know what your reaction to the C.J. Abrams thing is, but I did a little bit of it yesterday. I mean, obviously you're disappointed. I think
I'm not disappointed. Anytime you uncover addiction, you deal with it.
Is that what you think is going on here, or do you think it's just an immature
lack
kid?
Of discipline.
Well, see, that's what I think it is.
Take the addiction.
Okay.
Yeah, otherwise you're considered an idiot.
Yeah.
But then again, he's too young to be an idiot.
I mean, if he's got...
So it's addiction.
If he's got... And when you say addiction...
When I say this...
Gambling addiction or...
If you're up at 8 o'clock and you got a 1 o'clock game...
Yeah.
You're not a fan of the sport that you're playing at 8 a.m.
And you might have an addiction to something, right?
You might have something that... Now, the scuttlebutt that I hear now is that he's a frequent flyer. So other people that are frequent flyers... On the floor, or they know him by first name.
Mm.
So if you go back and trace this has been ongoing.
Mm.
So they knew about this, and they didn't handle their business in-house.
Mm.
If it gets to that point, you out at 8 a.m. or 1 o'clock game on the road, son, you've already slipped.
So maybe they were too late in getting to the discipline. I didn't have any problem with what they did.
Rizzo, he's saving him.
Yeah.
He's helping him.
Like, he's sending him to AAA Rochester, who's not even playing.
He's not even playing.
I mean, so basically they just suspended him for the final week of the season.
Again,
I had no problem with it. It's just really disappointing that, the final six games of the season, he's not going to be there because he was just finally starting to crank it back up again from an offensive perspective.
And down.
Yeah.
So you couldn't understand. Wait a minute. What's up? You have those variances in lack of consistency.
Maybe it's a lot of nights out until.
Well, it could be. It's a lack of focus. You know what I mean? Just got to get realigned.
Yeah.
It's like a car a little bit out of alignment. An alignment, it'd be fine.
Yeah. As I mentioned a couple of times, including yesterday, A.J. Preller, the Chargers, the Padre general manager, regrets giving up one guy in the big one Soto trade, and that's James Wood. Not C.J. Abrams, not even Mackenzie Gore. Regrets one guy, James Wood.
He's involved.
Like, the Nationals better hope that they can get C.J. Abrams at 23 and change to mature and settle down and all that, and certainly before they give him a lot of money. And I can't imagine an extension, which they've already talked about, is coming anytime soon unless it's very favorable to the team. But
this will affect it. What he's got to understand is that he's one of many.
You're
not a generational talent to do that. Like Juan. Soto's a generational talent.
You're nice. No doubt.
But,
The Royals are, 82-74. They're in third place in the AL Central, but they are coming in on a 7-game losing streak. So, certainly, they have work to do. And, of course, the Nationals haven't been good enough overall. 69-87, 36-39 at home. The good news is the weather, according to the latest projection that I have, Less than a 10% chance of rain throughout the evening and highs in the upper 60s. So, looks like we should be able to get baseball, maybe a slightly delayed start, but it looks like we should be able to get baseball on, you know, for the most part on time and throughout the rest of the game. Today's game day weather is presented by Pepco. Storm season is here, and we know a little prep makes a big difference. Get storm informed at pepco.com/storm prep. And one last story here during cleanup on aisle three that I wanted to bring up to you. Remember the story last week about Dan Campbell having to move from his home in suburban Detroit because some fans found out where he lives and whatnot? Well, apparently the home address was publicly leaked on social media by his daughter's classmate earlier this year. Now, according to police reports, you know, multiple people showed up at Campbell's residency back after they lost the NFC Championship and blew that big lead. They've already put the house on the market and I think bought another home or what have you. But apparently, according to police and NFL security, a male high school classmate of Campbell's daughter posted the family's home address on Snapchat with the accompanying text of, quote, dumb F, you know what word that is, trying to go for it. And, you know, again, Campbell and his wife weren't even home. They were still in the Bay Area, but his kids were home and so on and so forth. Doc, I would just say this. Like, you know, we talk about passionate fans, right? And I think this fan base here is very passionate. Sometimes I think they're a little misguided when it comes to the media's role and all that stuff. There's passion, and then there's stupidity, and then there's just being mean. And just being way over the top. And could you imagine the head coach of the Detroit Lions having lost the NFC Championship game, being this close to getting to the Super Bowl, and having to worry about people showing up at his residency with his teenage daughter at the house, and then having and having it be so bad that they decided they had to move from a place that they apparently loved. I mean, if that happened here, Dan Quinn or, you know, your guy Ron Rivera or whoever. You knew that was coming. You knew that was coming.
And Detroit was irrelevant.
Yeah. Could you imagine?
Well, the thing about it is that there are fools all over the world. And this is where law enforcement should be in, and people like that should be put under the jail.
Yeah.
He should never have to move. They were irrelevant. They were the worst franchise in the sport and not irrelevant. They're knocking on the door of championships. But, you know, the society, we allow for people to feel bold enough to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
And we get what we created, a soft environment. And this is what happens.
Lollipop environment.
Well, what do you expect?
You get a lot of suckers.
A lot of suckers. Keep trying
See,
to tell you.
Doc, y'all. I listen. I know your axioms.
If it's a lollipop environment, you're going to end up with a lot of suckers.
Wow. It's almost like I knew that was coming.
I think there's the Department of of Common Sense. That's the one seat we never fill in our whole system. This should be a Department of Common Sense.
Well, speaking of not having common sense, that's where we go next for Dum Dum of the Day. And it has it has something to do with the New York Mets. Meet the Mets. Head for the park and greet the Mets. Well, somebody tried to do that and was denied. Oh, yeah, baby. This is apparently what the New York Metropolitans told to one very unlucky fan.
It's time for Dum Dum of the Day.
But the fan strikes back. Oh, a woman from New York. This is from Outkick.com, so I want to give proper credit. And Maddie found this. A woman from New York named Aura Moody is suing the New York Mets for, get this, $2 million in damages in Brooklyn federal court. Why, you might ask? because she tried to enter Citi Field on August the 14th wearing a Make America Great Again hat. Yeah, I think you know what that political slogan is and who it represents.
Mm-hmm.
So Moody, a 64-year-old black woman, as it's pointed out in the story, and another friend were entering the game against the Oakland Athletics. They were there to meet up with several other members of the Queens Village. Queens is, of course, where Citi Field is located. Queens Village Republican Club. Moody and her friends were told they must remove their Make America Great Again hats before entering. The staffer at Citi Field said it was too political, quote unquote. She tried to suggest putting the hat in the bag, apparently was told no, because you could put the back on the hat back on when you get to your seat. You have to take the MAGA hat out of the stadium. She went back to her car to put the hat away. She was finally granted notice or access, I should say, to the stadium. But then she said she noticed that several of her friends who were white were allowed to wear MAGA hats into Citi Field. As a result, she is now suing the Mets for racial discrimination and political retaliation and reputational harm. So, I ask you this. The Mets have retrained the employee, saying that the employee misinterpreted the stadium policy and they attempted apparently to invite her back. But the question becomes, should the Mets have done something here different? And did they drop the ball? Or is she trying to use the race angle as a means to distinguish her and therefore give her the right to sue? Not to be upset. She has every right in the world to be upset. But to sue for $2 million in damages.
Well, I hope she gets every penny of it.
Really?
Absolutely.
She's alleging racial discrimination, even though there's no way to exactly know that.
I see a very prominent gentleman at every Nats game, most Nats game.
He's
mega
there.
Hats.
You can wear it. Right behind home plate.
Yeah, if she was singled out because of the color of her skin, of course, I hope she gets $5 million.
If she was intentionally, we don't know that. She's alleging that, but we don't know that, right? But
well, you think an employee.
Maybe it's just a bad employee.
Upon themselves to deny somebody access? That sounds personal to me. But I'm going to be a little more sensitive to it than the average
person. I'm going
to
say a couple of things are at play here. The Mets obviously did not train their employees right.
Well, what's the new? Employee, they don't train their players right. So,
that's true. Maybe the employee suck, just a rogue, uninformed employee, whatever he might be.
You don't have to cover up for him.
But on
it's
top
a lot of people that, based on sight, just that's how that person thought. They've been trained in this society to think that way. And she simply reacted to it and should have her behind boiling in oil as a result of it.
On top of that, I will just say this. A $2 million lawsuit damages is a little bit too...
It's not enough to me.
Too much for
should
me.
Should be doubled. Because you got to pay the lawyers and everybody else. Yeah. It's not walking away with that.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. And that is a lawyer probably working on a pro bono case, right? Hey,
well, could be. Yeah.
We got to sue for this so that I can get my share.
But that's just my opinion. Okay, yeah. I'm tainted. Ask the infant tomorrow.
Okay. We'll see how he rolls. All right.
Congratulations. You're Chris's dum-dum of the day.
Now, I don't know.
I'm scarred.
I don't know who we should be calling. I mean, because, again, to me, the $2 billion lawsuit, too much. But to me, the Mets, the employee, what
have
you.
The Mets employee is an idiot. He deserves the dum-dum. The lawsuit, I'm pro it if it really does come down to race, but on the sense of if this is just somebody upset because they couldn't wear their MAGA hat inside the Mets, I'm sorry.
It's a weird situation, and nobody knows exactly what the truth is. Hopefully,
that's what makes America
the truth
so
will
great.
Come out.
You have the right of freedom of expression.
Well, here's what I want to do. I want to say thank you to the DOC, not only for being here, but also for the wonderful bottle of Russell's Reserve Kentucky Straight Bourbon
Whiskey. Hey, man, you only get one day a year.
My guy, Doc Walker. I'll put a picture of it coming up. Because,
well,
of course,
don't let
it's
the
Russell's
infant,
Reserve.
Because he'll try to take it.
I'll try not. That's coming up tomorrow. on a Windbag Wednesday at 1 o'clock. DOC, thank you. Have a great night.
Thank you
to Maddie. Thanks to you guys on the phones on a winning Tuesday around here. It doesn't happen very often, so enjoy it while you can. More coming up tomorrow at 1. Craig Hoffman up next. Adios.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Lil' Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Lil' Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.